this failure has taught me that I still have the ability to make a decision and correct a decision. Just because parts of your idea fail doesn't mean that it's a complete failure. You can still minimize your losses.
You're listening to Untamed, a podcast dedicated to empowering you, the lash artist, while providing insights on how to achieve success that is as individual and unique as you are. Each episode, me, Cheryl,
and me, Anne Marie, share our best information openly, without reservation. We discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds for the lash industry.
So grab a snack and your comfiest sweater, and get ready to geek out with your new lash BFFs. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe!
Hi, lash nerds. Welcome back to another episode of Untamed Podcast. Today, unlike usual, we usually bring you good news and education. Today, I bring you sad news. Do you want to know what the sad news is, Amory?
Yes, I do. I'm ready.
This moment, it's the official moment that you've heard it here, that we're announcing, I guess, to the public through this podcast, that we are dismantling our ambassador program, which also known as the UA Geek Squad.
Yeah, it's quite the bummer, isn't it? I know that the Geek Squad has been a dream of yours for a very, very long time, and I'm sad that we're at this day and having to make this decision. And of course, you know, I understand where you're coming from and support your decision fully, but it is sad. It's still very heavy that your vision didn't come true. So do you mind if we start by talking about what your initial vision was for the Geek Squad, just to give a little background to our listeners?
Yeah, of course. But before we start, we're just going to address the elephant in the room. If you guys hear party music in the background, you're not going crazy.
Oh, sorry, guys.
Amory, tell us, why is there party music in the background?
So I am actually in Australia. I came over here for the International Lash Masters Conference and spoke about adhesive at this event. And as you may or may not know, Untamed Artistry has had a presence in Australia for a while, and we are officially launching in Australia soon, very, very soon. So I am over here and absolutely loving it. The music, the story of my day, guys. I'm staying at a hotel that is supposed to have good internet, and unfortunately their internet is completely down. So I'm at their sister hotel. No conference room, no meeting room. In the lobby, and this is where I'm at.
Oh no, but we appreciate your dedication, even though you are hours different and in a different continent, but still showing up for this podcast. We appreciate you. And yes, guys, it's not all sad news today. You guys heard it. We're also launching UA Australia. That's a different conversation for a different day.
Right. Absolutely.
We're going to stay on topic.
So
let's refresh the question.
Yes, let's refresh. So the Geek Squad's been a dream of yours, and seeing that vision not come true is extremely saddening to see. And I mean, even though it is kind of bittersweet, but for our listeners, can you share what your initial vision was for the Geek Squad?
Yeah, I think that like my initial vision for the Geek Squad is that I wanted an unconventional ambassador program. So ambassador program is a pretty common thing in the lash industry. When I was in the lash industry for a few years, almost every brand had an ambassador program. And what it really is basically a tribe of the diehard fans. It's able to get an exchange of discount for their social real estate. So what that means is like their feed and their story, that's like their social real estate. They would just have responsibility of posting about that brand, whether it's a product photo or product usage, a shout out, a promotion, or anything like that. And then in exchange, the artist would get a certain discount shopping at this brand. And that's pretty conventional, actually. It's not new to our industry. It's something we see in the fashion industry. Social media is actually what really brought this marketing strategy to, I guess, the flourishing state. You see all the favorite brands that you like, you often see like ambassador for these brands, and they're just representation of the brand. Brands like to know, like their audience to hear how amazing they are, not just from them, but from someone else. As a lash artist, we always talk about the importance of referral. And this is why referral is so great. It's because it's way more effective to hear that your service is great from the friend or family than it is to hear from the artist themselves. So this is why ambassador program has always historically been a marketing strategy. However, with the conventional ambassador program, there are some things that I liked and then there's some things that I didn't like because I've always wanted to do things a little bit different.
That makes a lot of sense. So what are some things that you like from the traditional like method that we see versus what you didn't like? Because for me, I'm used to seeing, especially in the lash industry, where it's just kind of like a discount that you receive, but then you have huge posting requirements. And it doesn't always seem like a win-win situation from my perspective. But what do you like and what don't you like?
Actually, before I start that, why don't you actually tell us a little bit more of why you feel like it isn't always a win-win situation? And that might actually lead more into my vision.
So if it's an ambassador program, like many in the lash industry are, that are just a discount on products, sometimes that discount rate is not very generous. And unless you're purchasing quite a bit of products, you have to look at how much money are you actually saving for the amount of work you're putting in. A lot of these ambassador programs I've seen in the past, they have a lot of posting requirements. If you know me, I do not post on my feed enough. So in order to meet these posting requirements, my feed would look like a dupe of that brand's feed. Because of how many posts there are, for example, sometimes there's multiple a week. Some of them have a lot of requirements and oftentimes they don't actually give back anything aside from a discount on the product, which if you are a successful lash artist, you that extra 15% off you might be saving. You have to really see, like, again, is it worth it? So for me, I always try to be analytical and look at those numbers. But I always wanted a sense of community in an ambassador program. I was always looking for something like that. I love community, and that wasn't always as evident. It was often feeling very much like post, and here's your minimum discount. And then you are posting a lot. And then what if you got in trouble for not posting? So that's kind of the culture I see happens in our industry quite a bit. And I hope that's okay for me to just say it like it is.
Absolutely. That's what this podcast is for. It's for us to say it like it is. And you are also somebody who's been poached many times by different brands to be the ambassador because of the social presence that you have in our industry. And I align so much of what you said. And I knew that this would kind of go into a little bit of the likes and dislikes. I liked the ambassador program. From a business standpoint and a marketing standpoint, it's an effective strategy to an extent. You are essentially finding, it's like if I'm an athletic brand, I want athlete to wear my things to show my athletic brand. If I'm a lash brand, I want good lash artists using my product to showcase the work that they can produce with my product. So I feel like in that sense, from a marketing standpoint, it was building credibility for the company, was helping exposure for the company. And what I also liked about it was the sense of community, because I know that the lash industry can be a very lonely place sometimes. Since 80% of us are solo lash artists, we don't have a sense of community because we are tribal animal. In order for us to thrive, we really thrive in setting of a community. So that's also something I liked about it. But what I didn't like about it was how transactional it was, which is kind of what you touch on, right?
Yeah,
I didn't like that it was just a direct transaction because no good relationship, no real connection that I feel comes from a direct transactional relationship like that, where it's like, here's your responsibility and here's your reward for your responsibility. There's no human touch to it, I guess. And also, I just feel like it's so played out. It was a replicate of everything. Every brand had it. What is different? Like, you're really just fighting for certain lash artists who's looking for a discount with a certain brand. So that's another thing I didn't really like about it. I felt like the quality of the ambassadors that have sometimes been recruited to ambassador programs aren't always a good representation of the brand, but it's more, it's a numbers game. If I can acquire as many members into my program, then the more it speaks about my brand. And these are the things I didn't like about it. So around that time, I rewatched the movie King Arthur. And I don't know if you guys know this, but King Arthur is historically known for creating the concept of round table. So, you know, back in the ancient times where they used swords and fight knights on horses and stuff, historically, king would be sitting on the front of the table. And everyone would sit next to the king based on their position. And it's always a long rectangle table. When King Arthur took over, King Arthur was always a king of the people. Like, he always cared deeply about the people rather than his title. And the first thing he did was actually creating a round table, a circular table that everyone gets to sit around it and that everyone's opinion mattered. Everyone gets heard. It's a very communal and very equal kind of feeling. So I was like, okay, if I'm going to build a community, that's the feeling I want to convey. That is the message that I want to send across. So I wanted to build an ambassador program that wasn't strictly for trading social real estate for discount. Obviously, I wanted to strive for a win-win. That's kind of always been my business model, is that how do I get to win-win? And I thought, okay, what if I use a group of people who really represents UA? And this is going to the vision part, right? So I had this vision where I would recruit the nerdiest of Lash nerds and that are very curious and always out looking for information, looking to learn, looking at different platforms and different people's social media page and always trying to better their skill set. And then I would recruit these people to come into the UA and kind of be the eyes and the ears of UA. As I take a step back into, because I knew that I would no longer be lashing anymore. I'm not going to be very involved in the skill and the technique side, but I never want UA to fall behind. Because if we're going to create great products, these great products has to be approved by great artists and artists that know how to use it and want to use it. Because they really help the next generation, the new artists, to kind of set the bar of how great the quality of the products can be. So I say, okay, what if I recruit a group of people that's like that, that has this curiosity and really wanted to know everything about lashes? And then I'll bring them in. We do has the conventional, obviously, ambassador program structure where you do get discount and then the discount comes with some responsibility of posting. However, I wanted to make this hefty. I wanted to make this like more than just a transactional relationship. So I thought I would bring the King Authors Roundtable into this, where we'll meet once a month, where we essentially spend half of the time of UA acquiring resources, whether it's hiring people, professionals, or myself, or other people on our team that has expertise in an area, and even Geek Squad members themselves who are a special expert in certain area of a lash business, to give kind of like a webinar, kind of teach people something so that it's valuable, so that they're getting value from these meetings. And then we'll take another half of the time where they would kind of be giving UA feedback on products, on what's going on in the industry, so that we are staying in tune and in touch with the industry. So it was a, you know, win-win situation in my mind. And then also, I wanted to get the ambassador really involved. I wanted to get them involved in a way where they are involved in promotional event. I want to get them involved in a way where we featured them. For a while, we had like featuring the artists themselves. So for a period of time, we were even featuring the Geek Squad members, having them to do takeovers, having them to really showcase who they are as an artist. And another thing that I was thinking is that not only I want them obviously to post about the brand, but I want them to use UA as a platform. I want UA to be a platform that helps them get more exposure if they were an educator, to help them get exposure in the industry if they're trying to build some sort of influence to later have an education program. I want it UA to be a platform that helps them put them on the map of the industry so that they can be more known. Because a lot of these, when you're that nerdy, a lot of their aspiration is to become an educator. Because being such a nerd myself, I know what satisfied me more than anything else is the ability to share my knowledge with others. So it's an aspiration of most of our ambassador is that they wanted to become an educator. So I thought, this is great. It's hard to become an educator in the lash industry when the lash industry is pretty much the market of education is cornered by a few top educators. To really carve a space for yourself, you need a certain level of exposure. And I really thought that UA can do that for them as well. So these were kind of my vision when it comes to building our Geek Squad.
I absolutely love it. And those monthly meetings were actually extremely beneficial. So one thing that I really liked is the variety of education you would bring in as well. So even just talking taxes, like how to prepare financially into business management, into actually how to make an online course. We had Claire as a guest educator to teach that to our Geek Squad. So I really love that sense of community, and I saw so much value within the program, which actually leads me to my next question, though, is at what point did you feel like this wasn't working anymore? And then how did you know it was time to stop the program when it's something that you actually love and believe in so much? Because that's actually really, really difficult to do. Oftentimes we're passionate about something, and no matter how bad it's going, we will never stop, reassess, or pivot. So how was that process for you?
I think that knowing that it wasn't working was a slower process than knowing when to stop it, right? Knowing it's not working took a really long time because you have this vision and you think one way and you think that they would receive it the same way that you have envisioned it. And I knew that it wasn't working when people started to leave. Another thing that I wanted to mention in this ambassador program is that traditionally ambassador program has a time period. You are committed to a brand for a certain amount of time. I also wanted this ambassador program to have as little shackle as possible. So people had the flexibility to leave whenever they want. We have three different tiers in the ambassador program. We have the advocate, ambassador, and educator. And they all had different responsibility and different discounts. And people were able to jump up and down into these different tiers whenever it seems to fit their business. I wanted to give them as much freedom as possible. So I knew that it wasn't working. It's when people decided to leave. And you know that when people decide to leave, they are telling you something. They're telling you that they're not getting the value that they were looking to get in these groups. Even though all of them left on good terms and they were all still a core part of our community that we engage with all the time. But it just didn't align with what it is that they're looking for out of a program. And that's when I start thinking, okay, like, are we missing something here? Like, why are people leaving? In the beginning, it was really easy for me to say things like, you know, they just have different trajectory for their career. It's kind of like, you know how when you had retention problem in the beginning, it's easy to blame it on a client. It's easy to say that, like, they didn't clean their lashes. They use oil-based product. They did this, they did that, right? But when it's not one, but two and three and four people starting to leave the program. And that's when you have to look at yourself and be like, what am I doing that isn't providing the value that I promised to provide? And then I also knew that it wasn't working. It's because I had imagined this group to be very engaging and people are very excited to be a part of it. And it would be like a constant conversation, which was like that in the beginning when we first formed the group. But then like in our group chat, it's not as vibrant and it's not as engaging as you think that it would be. And then I think that that's another sign is that maybe this community isn't offering value in an artist's day-to-day life in their business, that they are going to take precious time from their day to engage in a separate group. Because everyone's time is valuable, especially when you're an entrepreneur and maybe you're a mother and maybe you are have other responsibility and maybe you have another job. All of your time is valuable no matter who you are. And to know that someone is willing to give you their time, that's like a luxury that they're giving you and you should be grateful for. So when people aren't doing that, you know it's because it's not a top of their priority. It's not important enough for them. And also, just like what we do with our forward-facing effort in taking feedback from our community about products and stuff, we also take feedback from our group, right? We also do surveys from our group. And I think that for the most part, people are happy to be in the group, but they're not ecstatic. They're not talking about the group as like, this is something that really transformed their career and changed their lives. And that's what I wanted. My vision is that this was going to be something that builds UA and transform their life. I don't know if this is something that really built UA, and I'm pretty sure I didn't really transform their life.
You know, it's interesting. And I do disagree with you that about the transforming of the lives. I do feel like there are some ambassadors specifically, I picture them, that would fight you on that statement and say, are you kidding me? They always had their notepad out. They were always taking notes after the meetings. They were engaging with all of our team, wanting to learn more. I think that you did make a bigger impact than you feel. But what I admire about your leadership style is that you're so self-aware, and you started feeling like, even though we were doing all these incredible things for the Geek Squad, we were trying to provide as much free education and value to them, you realized that it just wasn't what they were looking for. And you realized that this whole setup of an ambassador program is just almost dated. It's kind of broken, and it's not something that really is going to be the most beneficial going forward. So I really think that's interesting to hear about. And I honestly, how many of us would ever say, oh no, I wasn't providing enough value to my clients? Like, would any of us admit that and really be that self-aware? So if you're listening to this episode, I hope that you do take that lesson back. I'm just bragging on Cheryl for a minute, and really see where you can provide more value within your businesses as well. Now, you mentioned a lot of reasons that you realized that this wasn't really working. Did you have one light bulb moment that just kind of like hit and you said, okay, you know what? That's it. We need to dismantle the ambassador program.
I think that before anything that you're trying to build or anything you're working on, even like running a race, like right before you can't do it anymore, you would like put all your effort in and put all your eggs in one basket and give it one last try. And that's kind of very true in relationship. Like, you know how a lot of people, you just know it isn't working, but like right before you decide that this isn't it, you're just like, I'm gonna give it one last try. And that was when we came up, actually you guys, you and Sydney came up with the idea that like maybe what we need to do is, besides having them meet the requirement and us, you know, giving these roundtable, maybe it's kind of showing more appreciation. So we came up with this like point system where if you do your even basic responsibility by the contract, you will gain points. And for the points that you gain, you can then exchange either for products, discount, and even outside of industry stuff like Sephora gift cards or Canva subscription and things like this. And when we announced that, it was cricket in the group.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I really was. I thought that the reaction was going to be extremely different because it was unique. And you mentioned that we had things that we were trying to give back that were outside the industry that could actually transform their business in different ways or just for them to have fun, enjoy life. Like, that was a bit of a bummer. And I'm sure you can tell.
Yeah.
How I sound.
This is
a bummer how it went because we spent a lot of time on it.
And for those Geek Squad members who are listening to this podcast, just know that like you did nothing wrong.
No, we love you.
It's not your responsibility to be excited about things just because someone offered it to you.
Right.
I think if anything, that told me in that moment that, hey, Cheryl, like you're missing the mark here. It's like you keep giving people a bunch of things that they're not asking for. You're never going to be able to meet them where they're at. And I think that our ambassador program isn't meeting the artist where they're at. And actually, I think that about most ambassador program. And this is why the aha moment for me wasn't that like I need to dismantle Geek Squad. Actually, the aha moment was realizing that ambassador program itself, it's a very dated marketing strategy that does not recognize the audience and the consumer and doesn't meet them where they're at. It's actually a dated program that is used to exploit their community in a way.
Ooh, I agree. I'm going to just put it out there, guys. I agree. And I support some of these brands who have programs, you know, but I do agree with what you're saying. And that is so controversial. So let's talk about it. How do most programs work? I know of them as being contract heavy, as we talked about, but can you give some insight into just the typical standard of ambassador programs?
I think the ambassador program that currently still work falls under two umbrella. There's umbrella one, where is you are binded by an ironclad contract. Not obeying to these contracts also means that there's consequences, negative consequences. So most ambassador, like our ambassador program, for example, the only negative consequences would just be like, you're not a good fit, you're no longer a part of the Geek Squad, and then you don't get a discount. But in certain ambassador programs that are still very feasible for the brand itself, it would be ambassador program that would have kind of contractual contract in the discount that you receive, and then a payback on those discount if you don't obey to your... It's a contract. That's exactly what it is, right? It's a contract that's binded by time, is binded by whatever clause that's in there, which is completely valid because it's a contract. It's two people going into an agreement together. And then another form of ambassador program that I would like to call it is the numbers game. It's just brands kind of get as many people who are interested in their brand as possible to give them a very nominal discount. I'm talking about very, very small discount that doesn't really change the outcome of your inventory all that much. Maybe covers your taxes, maybe covers delivery fee or something like that. but it's not a huge discount, but they don't really have any responsibility and obligation that they expect of you. Maybe at most it's like you putting it in your bio that you are associated to this brand. And that's about it. There's no posting responsibility. They would ask you, but it's not contractual. And I think that neither of those model is something that UA align with in terms of our value. The first model I don't align with is just because I believe in the freedom of choosing what you want to do and when you want to do. I find that a very rigid contract doesn't jive well with the general philosophy I have when it comes to collaboration. So that's why I didn't want to lean towards the first format. The second format also doesn't align with what UA's value is. UA isn't just about throwing discount at everybody so that we can get as much exposure and get as much people buying from our brand as possible. And if you really look at these brands, their discount that they're giving out is so insignificant that a lot of the time you could have gotten those discount somewhere else through a flash sale or some other ways. It wasn't some special treatment to the ambassador. It's more of a convenience that you get out of it. So for UA, if you are someone who shops a lot with UA, right, you can reach out to a customer service team, and there are different discount program that we have for salon owners for bulk purchases. You don't have any posting obligation. You don't have to like be tied to a brand and represent a brand. You can still run your business like use your business. This is just a back end operation logistic side of your business. It's getting some discount if you choose to invest in a company. And that's like fair for an every front. Whereas this more forward facing ambassador program format, a lot of the time, the ambassador's effort that they put in, people don't understand that. Like, and I do get it as somebody who has been very active on social media at one point, and I know you do too. Creating meaningful content, content that actually not only represents you and a brand, takes a lot of time and effort.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you're not shopping a lot with the brand and the discount that you're getting, just think about it in dollar amount. How much money are you saving by the end of the month? And then think about how much time you're putting into creating these content. It usually comes out a net negative for the artist themselves, rather than taking one more client to offset the cost of the supply or something like that. So that's probably why I feel like it's not really, and also giving out discounts like this for a brand to their best customer, it's just usually something that you would get. That's kind of a perks of being a diehard fan of a brand. Being a diehard fan of a brand, you are going to naturally get better discounts. You're going to get, especially in a B2B industry like us, you're bulk buying supplies for your business. There's going to be discount that associated with bulk buy. You don't have to, not like sell your soul, but like you don't have to work your butt off in creating content and having one of the biggest things that I think, without our ambassador talking about it, it's through my personal interpretation and observation, is that it brings a lot of anxiety. Those responsibility actually brings a lot of pressure. You're not always going to be 100% in on your business, especially when you choose to be an entrepreneur who manage your own schedule and manage your own hours. The very reason why you do this is so that if you're having some off time, you are not responsible for anyone else but yourself and maybe your client. But this added pressure from a brand actually makes them unable to focus on what's important, which is their relationship with their client. And then also it makes it that, like you said, if you're somebody who doesn't post that frequent, you have two choices. It's either you only post because you're supposed to post by your contractual obligation. Therefore, your feed becomes a dupe of the brand's fee or a marketplace for that brand, or B, you violate these contract clause, whether there's a negative consequences or not, you are putting yourself out there to build a negative experience and relationship with a brand and making yourself feel terrible. Because I think a lot of the people who end up leaving the Geek Squad, like they all send me a message telling me how I don't want to let you down. I hate that's their takeaway from the experience, is that it caused so much pressure on them that they're leaving so that they don't let me down. That wasn't the vision of the Geek Squad. The vision is that we help each other grow. But instead, I added pressure. into their lives.
And you didn't even mean to. And it's like, no matter how reasonable you think the posting requirement is, it still can be a lot depending on where that stylist is. Like, you talk so much about meeting people where they're at, and it's super admirable. I'm agreeing with everything you're saying. And this is a fresh take on ambassador programs, and I'm really curious to see where they go from here. But how do you feel like Untamed Artistry is going to continue to support those who are huge supporters of Untamed Artistry if we don't have an ambassador program? You mentioned that like they can reach out for additional discounts through customer service if they are a diehard fan, but what else is in store for Untamed Artistry fans?
Now that we don't have an ambassador program to manage, we actually free up a lot of human resources in terms of our internal team. Even though this didn't work out the way we wanted to, I have to say that we did give it our all. We gave our manpower, we gave our resources, we looked for people, and all of these takes time from the back end, right? It takes Sydney personally managing like how it's going, checking in with everybody. And then it also requires her to look for people to make sure that these roundtables are valuable. So now we're able to free up some time on Sydney's play, means that we can actually reinvest these resources back into our community as a whole. And I think that that's what my biggest takeaway from it is that I'm learning now that a real community, it's inclusive. It's community as a unit, not community divided with one exclusive part and one not so exclusive part. If anything, anyone who engages with UA, whether it's buy our products, engage on social media, watch our content, you are all part of the Geek Squad. Everybody is part of the Geek Squad. And I think that that's so much better because the resources that we were sharing in these roundtable, I feel like everyone could benefit from that. But I had to create some sort of exclusivity in order to attract these Geek Squad members to make it valuable for them in exchange for these social real estate. When something doesn't feel right, it just doesn't feel right. And I think that it didn't feel right. And it's something that actually, I'm only making this realization in our conversation right now. This is a lesson I'm taking away, is that my best friend has this quote before, and excuse my language, but it's so accurate. But she said, you can't shine a turd. When a bad idea, it's a bad idea. You can't just add things to it and then sugarcoat it to somehow make it a good idea. And that's what I was trying to do. Now that I realize it, if I didn't believe in the transactional relationship and exclusivity, that means ambassador program as a whole was never meant to work. No matter how grand and how amazing my vision was, it was never meant to work because fundamentally, first principle, it violates the things that I believe in. It violates my value. It violates my core philosophy when it comes to building a community. And I overlooked it. And it was a blind spot of mine. It was a blind spot for somebody who talks a lot about first principle. This is a point. This is an experience where I missed the first principle. So I like this conversation. It's helping me learn.
It's interesting. Yeah. And what I'm taking away too is that when the ambassador part was the bad idea, everything that you were trying to put into the ambassador program, those things weren't bad ideas. They're great ideas. They're just meant to be used in a different way. And I think that that's really encouraging to me, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners, is that if we have an idea and it's not working, maybe we're trying to, what do you always say? Fit the square peg in a round hole. I always hear your voice in my mind, like in my head of that. But I think that that really does tell us that we can stop and reassess and take these ideas and see where are they better suited for. And I just absolutely love that. Now, we did name the episode the failure of our ambassador program. So how do you feel about this failure? Like, what is your take on this situation?
Objectively speaking, my vision fail. The group didn't necessarily do what it's supposed to do for me, the brand, or for the artist that was involved. But I would say that this failure, a couple of things. Actually, I realize I missed one of your questions from earlier where you said that, why was it so easy? Or like, how did I decide that it was time to quit and just call it quit. And I think that this experience was very reassuring to me. This failure is reassuring to me that as a decision maker, I'm able to not have to miss too many blind spots and see that not have sunk cost fallacy in this scenario. Honestly, like the Geek Squad was something that I dreamed about and I thought a lot about and I put a lot of effort into it. I could have easily continued it on, would dissatisfy members of the group and confusions and dissatisfaction from our team who has to manage these groups. But instead, I feel like I was able to see that. I always say that quitting is not same as giving up. Quitting takes courage. And it takes courage to say something isn't working, that it's better that we just like call it quits. It's something that I learned actually in relationships. So many relationships, it would have been much better if I was just honest about how I feel about it and then just call quit way earlier on. So I think that this failure has taught me that I still have the ability to make a decision and correct a decision. Just because parts of your idea fail doesn't mean that it's a complete failure. You can still minimize your losses. And then another thing that, which is something you always talk about, is that there's no really such thing as real failure. They're all just learning opportunities. And this has provided us a ton of learning opportunity. And I hope that this also, I guess, commit to our team and our community that UA will always just try to stay true to our values. Even if we somehow veer off that value, that we are constantly doing check-ins with ourselves to truly ask ourselves, like, is this the right thing for us to do? Is this the right thing for the community? So yeah, like overall, it's not a painful failure.
Right, right.
Yeah, like the one that I share in our podcast, like, oh, that one still leaves me a little icky feeling sometimes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But this one, I have to say that I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of myself for having the vision. And I think that I was trying to do the right thing, which I'm proud of that. Wanted to do it right by the company and by the community and the people that was involved. I'm proud of myself to be aware enough to kind of really understand, are we meeting the needs? And then calling quit when we aren't doing what we're supposed to be doing. What was the question again?
No, you answered it well. I was just asking how you feel about this failure, how you're interpreting everything. Like, I think you really wrapped it up. Thank you for always sharing so vulnerably, Cheryl. I mean, I totally agree with where we're going with this. And I am so excited for all that's coming to Untamed Artistry. As Cheryl mentioned, it frees up resources so we can give back more to you, our Lash Nerd community. And I'm so excited about that, as Cheryl is, and our entire team. But to wrap up today, do you think there will ever be a time that you bring back an ambassador program? Or what is next for Untamed Artistry?
Never say never. That's what people always say. Never say never. But I'm like 99% sure, 99.5% sure I would never bring back the ambassador program. Just because, to reiterate what I was saying earlier, is that I want to build this community as a unity. And any type of thing that divides community isn't going to make it a unity. So I think for UA going forward, what we're going to do is focus more on collaboration. And we want to focus more on continue like deepening relationship that we have with our community currently, truly treating everybody like equally. We may bring educators and things like that into our group, but they are here to help us grow as a community. So I think that it's being able to share more with the community, like the things that we brought, like you made a really good point, right? Just because the nuances that I wanted to bring into the ambassador program fail, that doesn't mean that the idea of those individuals like concepts are bad. And I want to maybe see us start implementing those concepts into our larger community, like the round table, and getting more people involved in like feedbacks, and getting more people involved in like maybe product testing and things like that. Like, these are the type of things that I want to keep continue doing. And that also means that I want our community to take initiative too. Like, if you want to participate and these are the things that excites you, put your hands up. We don't have contact to every single person, but just know that if you are interested in certain things, just come and contact us, talk to us about it. And we're always going to be here to listen. So yeah, it's just more community as a unity. That's like the summary of it. And I guess like one last like thought that I wanted to leave, this is like unrelated to the ambassador programs and like, but it's more like my lessons and takeaway that I really think lash artists and the listeners listening can really benefit from, is that I've learned through this experience that not every one of your vision is going to come true. As somebody who identify as a textbook visionary, I always feel like grand and big ideas are supposed to play out exactly the way you want to if you did everything right. And I think that this is one of those examples that you can do everything right. And if it's not the right time, it's not the right time. If it's not with the right people, it's not the right idea. So 5 years ago, if I launched this ambassador program, I'm sure it would have been a great idea, right? Because at that point,
absolutely.
Yeah. And I think at that point, the industry was still very engaging with brands in that way. But I could have been a brand who was able to truly offer some sort of fair exchange of value with the artist compared to maybe other ambassador programs that exist in the industry. But I think at this point, this ambassador program, especially with COVID hit, people's priorities shifting, I need to respect that people are here to build their own business. They're not here to build your business for you. And brands can't expect that for you. Can't explore your community in a way where you lure them in with a small nominal discount and then expect them to build your brand for you. Your brand is built in the way you respect your community and the way you engage with your community and the value that you truly offer to your community.
That's all for this episode of Untamed. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at untamedartistry.com. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, as your study buddy, we are always here for you. Don't hesitate to send us a DM at untamed.artistry.